A work radio on the floor at Blatchley Middle School has the library here sounding decidedly unlibrary-like. Computers are covered with plastic bags, a wall is missing, and lights are dangling from the ceiling. In fact, lights are dangling throughout the building, and the hallways are teeming with workers. Some of them are putting mud on the walls to prepare them for new coverings, others are hanging sheetrock, and down the hallway, Kelly Cropper is standing in the commons. She is the city project manager in charge of the Blatchley remodel. Behind her, huge squares of color have been painted onto the wall.
Mandarin, tequila lime, and summer plum. Those are the names.
Next to them, three more shades called fresh cut grass, yellow raincoat, and a light purple shade called grape ice. These big squares won't be staying here. They're swatches, basically, so people can see what they look like on the walls. Eventually, the colors will be distributed throughout the building in different places to make the atmosphere brighter and more inviting.
A lot of purples and oranges and bright colors will be in the school when we get done.
Before, it was a lot of cream, wasn't it? A lot of off-white
beige,
eggshell beige.
Yeah. I think we need to go this direction.
As we walk around the building, there are still remnants of the last school year. In one classroom, a whiteboard is covered in Tlingit words. A sign in a hallway says sixth grade only and advises other students, who of course are no longer here, to find a different route. And drawings of plant and animal cells are still on the wall near the science classrooms. The cell membranes and cell walls are missing, and you can see representations of the nuclei and the mitochondria and the endoplasmic reticulum. The cell guts are on full display, just like the building. Because other than those things, you'd hardly recognize the place. The commons is a giant storage room for construction materials. A wire spool and a hard hat sit atop science textbooks stacked up in the art room. It's a mess now, but when it's done, officials hope the building will be bright, airy, cleaner, and certainly more comfortable. But the changes are far from cosmetic. Outside, huge heating and cooling systems are waiting to go into place. The building will have 46 heat pumps in its rooms and hallways, with an assortment of larger air handling units tucked away in machine rooms. They'll be able to better regulate the building's climate. For example, if one room is too cold and another is too hot, the new equipment will sense that and use the energy from one to even out the other. That new system is expected to save the school district some money. Cropper says the utility bills, as they stand now, are pretty steep.
Average like $250,000 a year for this school alone.
Wow.
And hopefully we're going to see significant savings there, you know.
Is there any way to calculate, or is it, I mean, you know that you're going to see savings, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to know exactly how much?
Well, we did a life cycle cost analysis, and that's a prediction, right, based on unknown. You don't really know what your weather's like and stuff, but the life cycle cost analysis showed us that we would save over a lifetime of the equipment, and that's rebuying the equipment and replacing the equipment, we would save like $300,000 in 20 years.
From the very beginning, from the design of the project all the way through to completion, it's expected to cost about $12 million. 70% of that money comes from the state. Another 30% comes from the city. Voters approved a bond issue in 2010. Back inside, Cropper says it's been a fun project to work on. And teachers and students who spent the last school year looking at wires and building guts up in the ceiling are hopefully going to notice a big difference in the fall.
We should have carpet, should have the walls painted, hopefully I'll have all the casework in. And most of the mechanical's already done. So if everything goes as planned, we should be complete before Christmas. But
she says there are a number of X factors, not the least of which is getting specific parts or pieces of equipment quickly when you live on an island in southeast Alaska. Still, Cropper says it's going well. Then she smiles and crosses her fingers. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.